Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Monster X Radio, December 1st, 2013. Hope you all had a great Thanksgiving. And with me tonight, as usual, is Shane. Welcome, Shane.
Hello, Johnny. How you doing tonight, man?
Doing good, doing good. Vikings won in overtime.
Oh, about time. They're not even in the playoff contention race, are they?
No, but it's just feels good. You know, we tied last week, so you know, everyone is filled with joy here because our Metrodome is getting destroyed. Well, they call it the Mall of America Field now, and they're going to build a new stadium, so it was one of the last games in there.
Gotcha. Well, I think a few of the ladies that are calling in tonight may have a football fan or two in there, so hopefully they'll give us a little update on their teams.
Yeah. We're not in the playoffs, but it's a big win. The stadium was packed. Everyone was happy. You know, we're spoiling other teams now. Chances.
Oh, yeah. Well, my Chargers.
And just having, you know, Adrian Peterson, such a great rusher, it's still exciting to watch.
Yeah, no, I don't really care for the Vikings in general, but Adrian Peterson is good in my books. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, he's a beast. Yeah. Well, tonight, everyone, is Ladies' Night. And we're going to dedicate this show to the ladies of the Bigfoot world. We're going to have several ladies on air with us. And we want you all to feel free to call in and join us. And
yeah,
we're going to...
Some of the callers will be, you know, on the skeptic side, and some of the callers are on the Bigfoot being, an actual being or, animal. I mean, there's different views on this, and some aren't really sure, so it's going to be an interesting show for sure. We do have, I think, one or two people on hold. You want to take one of the callers, Johnny?
Yeah, we'll let Arla on right now.
Hey.
Arla, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Doing great. Great to have you on the show.
Oh, thank you for asking.
Oh, absolutely. How are you doing tonight, and how's the weather in your area? Because up here in the up here in Oregon, it's pretty nasty.
Southeastern Oklahoma right now, it's really nice. I think we were like 60, almost 60 today. It's supposed to be 60 tomorrow, and 69, I think, the next day, and then the bottom falls out. So that's pretty much the way Oklahoma is. You can have 50-degree weather, or you can have 20-degree weather. So you just take what you get and go on.
Yeah, I hear you. The saying here in Oregon is, you know, the weather may be nice, just wait 10 minutes because it just changes so quick up here. It's, you know, you could be out in the woods and, you know, clear skies, and within 10 minutes you get a storm that rolls in and it's drops 20 degrees and it's pouring rain, you know, so.
Oh, I spent 2 months in Oregon this year. I was there in February and March and did a lot of winter camping on the east side of Hood.
Oh, okay.
And a friend and I did. I loved it. Of course, I love Oregon, and then I was back again in August for a couple of weeks. So, I really like Oregon.
Yeah. Are you up when you come to Oregon? Are you just camping to be out in the woods, or trying to be out there? You know, kind of being around Sasquatch, or?
You know, I love to go to the woods. I'm going to go to the woods whether I think they're going to be there or not.
Mm-hmm.
But we did. We had, you know, we found tracks and a lot of other stuff, you know, while we were there. One of the coolest things is, you know, laying in your tent at night and hearing wood knocks or howls. I mean, that's like just such an awesome thing. And you know, we don't stay in, like, regular campgrounds. We go just out into the National Forest somewhere in primitive camps. So.
Yeah, that's exactly
fun.
That's exactly what I do. And Mount Hood is one of those areas where it's not just beautiful and serene, but you can go to areas where you're just out there in the middle of nothing, and you have, you know, some nights it's really quiet. Don't hear anything at all, and our nights, you know, you get those wood knocks and stuff, whatnot. Yeah, I love it. That's my area that I go to when I go camping. It's just an awesome area.
Well, Mount Hood belongs to me now. It is my mountain. I've claimed it after coming to Oregon and spending so much time there. It's like, okay, this is my mountain now. So and I have to go back and see my mountain from time to time. So.
Hey. Arla, you might have seen my flag up there. I kind of put my flag up there. It's kind of my hood.
Okay. Well, I'll share it with you.
Okay. All right. So that'll work. Awesome. Well, Arla, you know, you're well known in the Bigfoot community and outside the community as well. You know, and most of our viewers know who you are, but do you mind just give us a little rundown of what got you into this, you know, interested in Bigfoot in general and, you know, in some of your thoughts.
Okay. Well, I was born in Oklahoma. I've lived in Oklahoma the majority of my life. When I was 6, I had my first encounter. I was at my grandmother's. I was outside sitting on the ground playing in the dirt. And I heard someone walk up, and I thought it was my grandmother, so I just looked up. But it was a juvenile male, and we just kind of stared at each other, you know, for a little while. And he, after a little bit, turned around and walked off, and I got up and went in and told my grandmother what I'd seen. And I, you know, I asked her, I said, you know, what was that, Granny? And at that point, the only thing she said to me was, what do you think it was?
Mm-hmm.
And she let me think about it. And then she started talking to me about this. So I was taught about them from an early age.
Mm-hmm.
I was taught not to fear them. I don't have a fear of them. And I've been in many states and, you know, had daytime sightings. I've had them in the camp, shaking my tent, everything else. And I just do not feel threatened by them. They haven't given me any reason to feel threatened, you know, so that's basically how I come out of it. How I came into the research world was, you know, it was just one of those things. You meet somebody, you start talking to somebody, and they say, hey, you know, come to this. Well, when I found out, I didn't even know there was such a thing as a Bigfoot research community. I had no idea that that existed, even though I've always known about the Bigfoot and, you know, have had interaction, you know, for a long time. It just didn't even occur to me that there was something like that. And it was kind of a rude awakening. I'm a bit of a kookette, I think. And it's funny, Tom Powell told me to own that term. You know, I'm a kookette. And he said, hey, own it. You know, if that's what you are, that's what you are. But, you know, the one thing I don't do is I don't want anybody else to necessarily take what I say as gospel. You know, listen to what I have to say. If it's something that, you know, you want to look at and think about, we'll do it. If it's not, it, you know, if I'm saying something that's so totally, you know, you're like, nah, I don't even believe that at all, then you don't have to, you know. But the one thing I do ask people is, file it away. Don't throw it out. Just file it away somewhere, and maybe somewhere down the road, maybe you'll have an experience that you go, wait a minute, I heard something like that. Or you have somebody that you know personally and that you trust, and they have something, so that you can go back and say, I've heard that that's happened before. You know, so it's, yeah, I'm probably, and it's funny because our Bigfoot community Facebook group, you know, our admins are like from one spectrum to the other. You've got me on the kookette end, and then you've got, you know, some of the others who are more into the science side of it, which is fine. I mean, I don't have a problem, and that's the main thing for me is we've got to all respect each other and, you know, try to get along and talk to each other in a good way. We don't have to buy everything everybody says, but at least if we can talk respectfully to each other, maybe we can make some sense out of something.
Yeah, I do agree with that, Arla, totally. I've been trying to be on good behavior because sometimes I lose it, I'll be honest. But, you know, I do, and I've tried to control myself because I know a lot of people, we have different views and whatnot, but I think the majority of everybody in these groups are, you know, they're like-minded in some aspects and have a common goal or thought process, you know. But mm-hmm. What do you do when you say, and I hate to bring this name up, but what do you do when you get someone like a Rick Dyer in there? Do you, I mean, that some people come in there don't know that he's a hoaxer. I mean, how do you handle that? I know he's a hoaxer. I think most people do, but, I mean, to, like, respect his views and take him, you know, as he is kind of a bad thing, in my opinion, and does harm. You know, I mean, how do you root people like that out? Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
Yes, I do. You know, I don't have to respect anyone.
Right.
And what they do. But I do respect myself, and how I respond to them is where respect comes in. You know, yes, I firmly believe that Rick Dyer is a hoaxer. But, you know, I'm not going to go out and call him a bunch of names and everything else. I'm going to lay the facts out as I see them. And that's what I'm going to deal in. I'm not going to deal in what I would really want to say about him.
Kudos.
To put my hands around his throat. You know, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to try to be respectful and put the facts out there and not call him a bunch of names. And I know a while back I was on a blog talk show, and he had called in or something, and he was saying a bunch of stuff about, you know, killing this and killing that and doing this and doing that. And it was funny because I rarely get upset. And I was getting a little upset. I wasn't mm-hmm. saying anything in a disrespectful manner, but it finally got to the point where I think I said, "Well, Mr. Dyer, then I know who you are."
Yeah.
You know, so that's about the most you're going to get, you know, get out of me. I don't see any reason to call people names and, you know, and stuff like that. But that's me. And,
yeah.
you know, I'm not going to hold anybody else to how I have to be. You know, everybody's got to do this in the way that they can. But I do know if you're in a conversation with someone and you start slinging names and the way you talk to that person,
yeah.
that conversation can be stopped at that point. I'm not going to listen to this person anymore, you know, so this conversation is over. So if we can figure out how not to do that, but how to ask questions and not belittle someone else because of what they believe, then, you know, maybe we can figure out more about this and, you know, try to do it in a good way.
Yeah. Awesome. No, I totally respect that. That's awesome, you know. And I heard you mentioned Tom Powell. I know Tom Powell. I'm friends with Tom Powell. And I don't always agree with him, you know, but I respect him and consider him a friend, you know. So, you know, we can agree to disagree and still be friends and, you know, in reality.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, exactly, you know. And I totally agree with that, and I respect that.
Yeah, that's, you know, and that's what I say. We don't all have to believe the same thing.
Right.
But if we would just speak respectfully to each other and discuss it in a good way, then maybe we'll see something that we didn't think, you know. And I tell people all the time, people are all the time chewing on people who can't get out into the woods. Maybe they've got health issues. Maybe they just don't have the woods to get into, and people are always slamming them and saying, well, you're not out here in the woods doing this, and you're not out here doing that. But I don't look at it like that. I look at it as it's going to take all of us. It's not going to take just us who are actually out there in the woods getting audio, prints, having, you know, interaction and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
It also takes those people who do have the time to look at other things and to bring up questions and stuff. So it's going to take all of us, you know. Now, what I do have a problem with is, you know, someone going at someone else about their research or something if they've not been out and done it, and they do it in a bad way. So, you know, it all boils down to that. How you talk to each other, it doesn't make any difference what you believe or what your part in this is.
Right,
just
and I agree with that, too.
Ask your questions.
If they have not been out, you know, and I'm giving respect to what they call the armchair, you know, person
right.
that does
right.
research. I respect those, but if you haven't been out into the actual woods or out, you know, doing a little bit of research or spending time in the woods, period, you know, even make a comment is just disrespectful. I mean, you know, you can't tell somebody what their experience or not unless, you know, even,
yeah, exactly.
you know, at all. Yeah, so.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And no one can, you know, tell how someone else's experience should be, because if you haven't lived that experience, you can't. You know, I love audio. And I do audio. I have audio where I'm interacting with them. I've also had that audio with spectrogram done on it so that I know, you know, because I have people say, well, how do you know that's who that was?
Yeah.
Well, I know this based on the spectrogram. It's not human, and it's not a coyote or a known animal.
Right.
So that leaves me pretty much to what I thought in the first place. But,
yeah.
you know, it's, am I an expert in audio? No, I'm not an expert in anything,
yeah.
you know. So I'm like everybody else. I know what I know, but I know for certain there's a heck of a whole lot more out there to know than I even think I know.
Yeah. As soon as you think you know what you know nothing.
Exactly.
You know,
exactly.
I kind of try to live by that. You know, as soon as I think I know something, I look at it again and go, I probably know nothing. You know, but
yeah.
Well, I'm gonna grab Cindy Bowers on here. She's on hold, so let me grab her.
Yeah, Cindy is a good friend of Monster X Radio. She's been on several times, and we always
Cindy,
love her input.
Yep.
Oh, hello, Cindy.
Good evening, guys. Hi, Earl.
Good evening.
Hey, Cindy, I love your voice.
Oh, thank you. I've got a bad cold, so you have to bear with me.
Well, we couldn't
it's
tell.
It's good to hear your voice.
Yeah.
Well, I've been sucking on honey and lemon cough drops, so
kind of
help a little bit.
Well, thanks for joining us, even though you're battling the sickness. That's awesome.
That time of year.
Not bad yet.
But yeah, Cindy Bowers. I mean, glad to have you on the show, and we've had you on here before. Not in a while. You've called. Well, I shouldn't say that. You called in a couple weeks back, had a brief conversation, but. No, glad to have you on board with Ladies Night here on MXR. So, you had a chance to listen to what Arla had to say. You got, any thoughts or anything to add to that? Or
I thought it was very well said, and I absolutely agree on the respect. It's something that I think a lot of the ladies are trying to stress in the forums is that, everybody has a different piece to the puzzle, and we need to listen because if we just dismiss everything, somewhere down the line, we're going to miss out on the fact that there was an important piece of information there. There are often times where you see commonalities in the witness reports or the research report that, some of the data that's collected, like water sources and food sources, times of years that these, witness sightings are happening. And if we just dismiss everything and don't show respect, we're going to miss out on that. And I think they're all pieces to the puzzle. There's theories that, of course, I'm not convinced on, but, coming from the skeptical side, it's hard for me to swallow some things because of how science-oriented I am. But I listen because there might be something there. And, and it's hard sometimes because you go, gosh, that just defies what I know. But then at the same time, we have to remember that science is always changing. They find out new things every day. They test new theories and new factors in those theories, and then they adjust to it. And I think that's what the skeptics have to do as well, is that when something is presented, we can't just dismiss it. We have to say, okay, this has been reported several times. We need to look into that further and see what's going on there. Maybe something needs to be adjusted.
Cindy, yeah. Cindy, that's a really, really awesome and great point. A lot of times believers or people who think they know what they know will attack skeptics or non-believers, and so will the skeptics, non-believers attack the believers. But it's really a two-way street there. I think in this field, neither side really respects each other. But, if they do respect each other and come to a common ground, they will listen to each other's, comments and thoughts. And then maybe through that, we can decipher what is fact and what is not.
Exactly.
That's a really great point.
I often have... I have to take my breath on the cloaking issue, because from a science standpoint, I know that there are two forms of cloaking, three if you count the military, but two as far as nature is concerned, and one is active camouflage, like you see in the squid, the cuttlefish, octopus, chameleons, where they have that chemical reaction in their skin. The other, is what they call crypto camouflage, which is where they blend in with their surroundings. Like when you can't see a cheetah in the grass or a wolf in the woods or an owl, a moth, those kinds of things. So it's hard for me sometimes to look at that because you know, they'll tell you,
me too.
You know, not everybody, but some will say, you know, these animals are cloaking. And that's hard for me because some of them are referring to it like in other dimensions. And, you know, in all honesty, we do not have the knowledge there yet. So in theory, they could be right, or I should say hypothetically, they could be right. You know, so it's kind of hard because you want to go, this is what we know, but we don't know everything. So you have to keep an open mind.
Yeah, we don't know anything.
Yeah. This is true. Until, you know, somebody actually has concrete proof, we don't know. You know, we can all have hypotheticals all we want and speculate all we want, but until there's concrete proof, we don't know anything. I mean, you know, I would say some people interacting and things like that may have more knowledge in that particular area. You know, researchers who are out in the field, and they're collecting the data on, you know, the water, the food sources, you know, elevation, you know, all different kinds of data, have another type of knowledge. And I think that one of the things that's been lacking in the community until recently is they haven't been working together. And I think they need to do that and pool that knowledge and find out what those commonalities are and what they can glean from that that's going to help everybody with their research.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're an active member in the community. How did you become interested in Bigfoot? And you're interested in other cryptids as well, huh?
Yeah, well, when I was young, I always kind of had a fascination for things like that. But it wasn't until I got married and my husband's grandfather, one day we were talking and I had told him we had some odd experiences in our house, and he just kind of out of nowhere said he had seen Bigfoot. And then he described his encounter, and this was back in the 50s before the Patterson-Gilman film. So that right there stood out to me. It was, you know, something totally out of the norm. It was in broad daylight, out in the middle of a field, just a few feet from him. He made eye contact with it. He was clearing a field of tree stumps. He had been hired by a farmer so that they could make new farmland. And he got off his bulldozer and went and sat on the lip of the bucket so that he could eat his lunch, smelled something that he described as like a skunk, and turned and looked expecting to see a skunk. And just a few feet from him is this large, and he described it as looking ape-like and black, and he looked in its eyes, and the eye, you know, he just was like shocked. He said it looked at him like it wondered what he was doing, like a curiosity kind of thing. And then
this was in Ohio?
Yeah, that's here in Ohio, about 15 minutes from where I live. It turned and walked across the field into the tree line and was gone. And he said that he had always been afraid to tell anybody because he thought people would think he was crazy, it would ruin his business, and he wouldn't be able to feed his family. So, it got me even deeper interested in the subject because that was the first time I'd ever talked to anybody who had encountered anything like that. And so, you know, I've always kind of read books and articles and stuff, but when I got into the whole Facebook thing, it was more, I wanted to come in clean. I wanted to make decisions on my own. I didn't want to know who was who, and, you know, other than the grandfather people, of course. You know, everybody knew who Roger Patterson and Bob Gimlin was. But
yeah,
I wanted to come in clean and see what people had to say and kind of get my own feel for the community. And I often would just sit and watch for a long time and read comments and occasionally like them, to get a feel for people. And, you know, while I'm more on the skeptical side, I don't feel that a true skeptic will rule it out 100%. And the reason being is that you have situations in life from a scientific standpoint where somebody has seen something and they report it. Case in point would be the Billy Ape. For years, there were reports of it, but they didn't have concrete proof. Nobody had gotten a picture yet or, unfortunately, a body. When that came out, then everybody was like, oh, okay, there was basis to this lion eating ape out there. So I think that a true skeptic, and this is my opinion, is willing to look and say, okay, there's something here that we can glean. There's too much commonalities going on in the stories, not just here in the United States, but worldwide. You know, you have reports in Russia and Canada and, you know, South America. You know, you've got all these different places reporting similar subjects. And I think that it would be an injustice just to dismiss it all. You know, and one thing that really, really bothers me is that when people say others are delusional, crazy, doing drugs, alcohol, that kind of thing, because I disagree with that. Since I've gotten on this path, I have talked to a few witnesses now, some in person, some via Facebook, and some of the stories are, you kind of shake your head and go, wow, really? But other ones you go, wow, that makes sense. You know, there's something there, and you have to grab a hold of it and say, okay, I'm going to put this, like Erla said, file this over here. Because there's something there, and I need to pay attention to it. And then, 6 months down the road, you hear something else. You go, oh, wait a minute. I remember, just like she said. And you go back to that, and you're like, okay, there's a commonality there. And, and I think that's what science does, is that they will look for those key things and say, okay, now let's test this. Let's do it, let's put a working theory in order and test it and see what we can find. They don't just throw everything away.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, all cultures have had, different folkloric stories and monsters and things, but I guess what separates Bigfoot is the fact that it is somewhat worldwide.
Yeah.
Whereas a lot of those other ones are more regional.
Yeah. And, I'm sure that legend and mythology do play a part because, as anybody knows, like the game Telephone, things get embellished over time. Witnesses do make mistakes. But if you go to that core root, there's something there. There's just too many commonalities to ignore it. So for me, it definitely warrants further investigation. But I won't swallow everything that comes along either. I tend to weigh it against science and what I know. That doesn't mean I know everything, because I don't believe that anybody can know everything. I don't think we have all encompassing knowledge yet. I don't think we ever will. But, that's me. But I think with skeptics, they should be valued in the community because they do bring forth knowledge that can help the researcher to say, wow, that makes sense. Let me test that next time I'm out. And it can help. But I don't agree with cynics. I think when somebody comes in with a completely fixed opinion, they themselves have formed a belief. And that's what the definition of opinion is belief. So if you come in with the attitude of this can't be, nothing can be, and dismiss everything and call people delusional, then you yourself are sitting in a belief state that you're accusing the others of having.
Right.
So, I think people have to keep an open mind and see what's there. Keep the baby but throw out the bathwater.
Yeah, and kudos to you, Cindy. kudos to you, Cindy, because, my problem with skeptics, I'm not a skeptic. My problem with skeptics is they, and a lot, and this falls in line with a lot of believers, is that there's no skepticism there. I was up at the Sasquatch Summit this past weekend, and Phil Poling made a great comment about that we are all in fact skeptics, which is, I found to be, it's very true. We are all in fact skeptics, and I think that a lot of skeptics come into this the Bigfoot community feeling like they're going to be attacked and whatnot. And you delve into this community, and you are attacked at times, but you are also willing to listen, unlike a lot of skeptics, and vice versa. There's just like that fine line there that people are like, this is what it is, and that's all there is to it. And yeah. I give, kudos to you for, listening and giving your two cents, because I respect you, and I listen to you, and I don't disagree with you sometimes. You know, sometimes I do, but sometimes I don't. You have a value to the community, and I respect that, and I thank you for that. So
thank you for the kind
yeah.
words. I don't always hear them.
Oh yeah, no, you don't. And you know, and I think, like I said, you do. You are a value to the community. In the fact that, you know, there has to be some reason in between a lot of thoughts and things posted out there that, or shared out there, that there has to be some science to it and some skepticism to it too. And then from there, you kind of meet the minds together and go, okay, where do we go from here? And you provide that avenue, which is awesome.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
I appreciate that. And I feel that the truth is probably found somewhere in between. You know, it's going to take both working together, the skeptic, the believer, and the in-betweener, you know, who really isn't sure, to put the different pieces together and find out what the truth is.
Yes.
You know, I had somebody say to me one day, well, what are you going to do when you find out that Sasquatch is real? And they were, you know, cocky about it. And I just kind of laughed. I said, I'll eat my crow, chase it with a beer, and find me a scientific journal and start reading. You know, to me, it's
yeah.
not like I'm going to be devastated and fall into a hole somewhere. I'm going to go,
right.
okay, I want those journal. I want those field journals. I want to, you know, I want to know everything now. You know, give me the meat.
Yeah.
You know, but that's me.
Right.
You know, I suppose not everybody has the same idea, but that's me. You know, it's like, get to the meat of it then.
Awesome. I'm going to give Susie a call, Matiosh a call. I think that's how you pronounce it, Matiosh. I don't know how to pronounce her last name. I'm hoping that's how it sounds, but I'm going to give her a call right now. I think she picked up. More than that,
I'm here, guys.
Oh, there you are. Hey, Susie, how you doing?
Good. How about you?
Awesome. Glad to have you on board here and share, you know, ladies' night with the other ladies and all of us here. How are you doing? And I've asked this question before. How's the weather in your area?
out here in California, well, I'm high desert, so I'm higher elevation. So we're kind of cold. We're getting in the 30s and 40s.
Yeah.
But I have been listening to the ladies, to Arla and to Cindy, and boy, am I proud. Definitely I've associated myself with people that have a wide range of belief, and you guys are doing great. I'm very impressed. Cindy, awesome. Arla
yeah.
as well.
Thank you.
And Susie, give us a little lowdown on the Bigfoot community, because it's a group that's, when it started out, you know, it was kind of small, but it's grown in leaps and bounds, and you have something that a lot of groups don't have, is such a wide variety of thoughts and ideas and encounters and non-encounters. I mean, you've managed to, in this community group, get a lot of different avenues of thought and whatnot in there, and people, for the most part, play nice. I mean, yeah, you're gonna always have battles, but they play nice, and you know, it's a growing group. It's one of the bigger ones out there, as far as Bigfoot's concerned. You know, I mean, how's that going for you? I mean, how's it working out?
Well, it's working. You know, how do you explain? we put ourselves out there on a mission and called this group Bigfoot Community for a reason. We wanted it to be for everyone, not just the cloak believers, the ape believers. We wanted us to all unite, you know, because a lot of the founding members, and when I say founding members, I mean the friends that I established before we made the group, we wanted to make something where we could all be united, universal, and not, you know, have just one. Wow. It's hard to describe. I'm sorry. We just wanted to make a united community where everybody could come together and try to get along and not disrespect each other in a lot of these forums where they, you know, if you speak up and say, oh, I believe in cloaking, and then you've got 20 people slamming you down into the ground. You know, that's where we step up and say, okay, you know, knock it off, don't do it. We try to, you know, squash it with a little humor. You know, we're just trying to keep it real with everybody so everybody's comfortable and it's just catching on. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah, absolutely, yeah.
You know, and, like I said, we have admins that are, you know, from one end of the story to the other of their beliefs. So we're showing everybody, hey, we can all get along. We're, you know, we may not agree. I don't always agree with Cindy. She knows that. Love you, Cindy. Sorry. And, you know, and the same thing with Arla. You know, Arla has, you know, some beliefs out there that I don't quite understand. But I respect both of them, you know, and so that's what we're trying to show the members as well, and that's why we built this group. We wanted to make a difference in the community and show the community that there could be peace and that we could all come together and share an opinion and not be punished for it, you know, and that seems to be what's making our group grow so much.
Yeah. Is there an area that you draw the line, though, at all, or you just let people, I mean, run rampant with ideas or thoughts or what they say to be true? I mean, is there an area where, I mean, there's a lot of gray, obviously, but is there a black area that you're like, okay, that's it, you know? Or do you just let people, you know, have ideas openly?
We let them have ideas openly, but there is a gray area, you know, if, for example, the admins do not support pro-kill. We just don't. Do we not allow pro-kill people into the group? No, they're welcome. But the gray area is if somebody puts a post out there, hey, I want to kill a Bigfoot and I'm going to bring it in on the back of my truck and I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that, you're going to upset people. You know, so we're trying to keep it to where, okay, look, you know, if you feel that we need a body to prove the existence, say it in a cool way that you're not going to sit here and upset everybody. You know, that's the gray area, and it's very difficult for us. You know, because we've had it a few times, and what we do is we handle it privately. We send a private message to the person, can you tone it down, or if there's a better way to say this, please, you know, because it really upsets people. And in Bigfoot community, the group has had their share of issues with that. I'm sure you guys remember.
Oh yeah, no.
We learned from it. That's the point. You know, I've made my mistakes. We all have. Mm-hmm. You know, but the point is that we're learning from them, and you know, we're growing just like the community is. I think it's making a statement, and we're doing better. You know, as a community, I'm not just talking about the group. I'm talking about the community itself, because you know, there. Let's just face it. There's been a lot of fighting going on for a long time, long before Bigfoot community, the group came along.
Right. Facebook just kind of added the avenue of making it easier.
Well, yeah. You know, I mean, these are real people. This is reality. And a lot of these members go out into the field and they research and they put in the time and they do a lot of hard work and then they come back and they share it. And what they share may, like a Blob Squatch, for example, you know, they, well, guys, you know, you had to be there, and it was clear, and it just didn't come out in the picture, and then everybody starts making fun of them. It's discouraging, you know, especially what you call the armchair squatchers, you know, and it's like, okay, there's got to be a line drawn there, and just let these people share what they have to say and be respectful about it. That's our mission. You know, we may not be perfect, but we're trying. You know, we're getting there.
The only problem I see with that, and what you were just talking about, is that when they do not allow criticism, skepticism, or comments on that, when they want, this is what it is, and do not question on it, and then they block you, or they
delete the thread and repost it because they didn't like something.
Yeah, and that
something.
Happens.
Yeah, I know.
I have a big problem with that. If you're going to put it out there, you can't expect people to take it as fact. Especially when it looks like a stump or something else of that nature. You know, you have to people have to be respectful. I agree. You don't just call, hey, you're a dumbass, blah, blah. You don't do that. No, respectful, of course, but at the same time, you're going to put it out there. You got to allow for it to go through the process of elimination and people questioning, you know, what time of day, and, you know, are you sure that's what it is, and, you know, give us the original or whatever have you, you know.
Well, a lot of that is, it has a lot to do with the history in the Bigfoot community, though, if you look at it, because a lot of them, a lot of these people have scars. You know, they've been down the road, they've been drugged through the mud, and they are very shy and leery. They're afraid that people are going to come and stalk them and try to find their research areas, and because of the way people speak to them, you know, in threatening manners. And that's where we're like, okay, look, you know, when I, the whole reason I dreamed up this group was because I used to be that person that never said anything. I sat back and I sat in these groups and I watched people just dog each other, you know, and, oh, you're an idiot and you're this. And I'd be like, oh, Lord, I am not going to say anything because they're going to eat me for lunch. You know, and it got to a point where I was like, you know what, maybe if we could try, let's, you know, I talked to my friends about it, and I said, why don't we start our own group where we can control that, where we can say, hey, you know what, be cool about it. You know, so what if it's a blob squatch? I'm probably going to agree with you. You know, but this person's out there. They're trying. You know, give them a chance to say, this is what I've got. Hey, guys, what do you think about it? And not get slammed down into the dirt, because maybe that's where we need to start repairing the community. You know, if we're more united, aren't we going to get more information to be able to research and prove the existence of Bigfoot if we can speak to each other in a civil manner?
Yeah.
You know, that was my whole point, and that's what, you know, and Arla and Bugs and all the other admins that we have, Deb Tappell, you know, we're all watching the threads constantly, watching these people bring up things and comparing notes and talking about what they've seen or what they've learned, and we're trying to keep people from attacking them so they feel like they can speak up more often. And I think that that's going to help research. It's just my opinion.
Yeah, no, and that's awesome, and I can agree with that, you know. And another thing to add to that is if somebody posts a picture of something that's questionable, which most are, but questionable, people have a right or a right to either comment on it or not. You know, it's kind of simple. You know, it's either, you know, if you call them out, you know, you can expect an answer, I would hope. But, you know, if you don't agree with something or whatever, just don't comment, I guess, you know.
Well, no. Nobody's saying don't, you know, that's where you're wrong. It's okay. I'm going to tell you, hey, Shane, I don't like what you just said. You know, or I don't agree with you. I think I see something in that picture. But I'm not going to sit here and call you an idiot. You know, I'm not going to – that's where we've got to draw the line and be more respectful to each other. Treat each other like you would your neighbor. You got to live with these people, you know. That's just how I see it. You know, we're not sitting here saying don't say anything negative. We're not saying that at all. We're just saying say it in a cool way, like, you know what, what really happened there? What's the backstory on that? Because I don't see anything. It was the thing cloaked. You know, I mean, explain yourself. You know what I'm saying?
No, I agree with that, you know, but a lot of times, and I've been doing this for a long time, and I agree with you, but at the same time, if a dog were the crap in my yard and I said, hey, you know, to my neighbor, look, your dog crapped in my yard, and there's nothing there, but yet I'm trying to say, hey, a dog crapped in my yard, there's crap there, and he says, no, there's nothing there. It only leads to an argument. Like, okay,
yeah.
Well, I'm, you know, so at the same time, I'm saying what I was getting at was that if you're going to get down that road and you know it's 9 times out of 10, it's going to lead to somebody getting their feelings hurt, just don't say anything at all. I mean, if you don't see anything there, you know, you can ask a question or not, but, you know, 9 times out of 10, it's going to lead to an argument. It just is. It's going to say, you're basically, no matter what you do, you're calling that person out, say, I don't see it. And he's going to be like, well, it's there. Well, I don't see it. And they're going to go, oh, well, it's there. You're blind. I drew red circles around it. It's there. What I'm saying is it does usually lead to an argument. It's one thing to say, I just don't see it. The other person go, you know, it would end there if someone just said, okay, well, you don't see it. That's fine. It's there. But it never ends that way. So what I'm saying is a lot of times.
That's one of the gray areas.
That's one of the gray areas. And what I'm saying sometimes it's fair not to comment at all. You know, not that we're not – for me personally, I'd like to I like the question. I like, hey, what are you seeing? Because I'm not seeing it, you know. But nine times out of ten, it hurts somebody's feelings, or it puts you on the attack, and before you know it, you have 10 other people going, it's there, and 10 other people going, it's not there. And, you know, really you're not solving anything. You're just creating a big ordeal where the admins have to step in and go, okay, let's calm down, people, you know. I don't know. I think
that's where we have a lot of fun.
Yeah, no, it usually gets kind of fun, actually.
Yeah. I meant that in a facetious way.
Yeah, yeah. No, I understand.
Because we don't like feeling like we're the principal in the school and we're walking the hallway saying, come on, guys, you know. We don't like that. You know, we don't want to have to censor anybody. We're not dictators. You know, we're just trying to make a community that's comfortable with each other so we can share information and grow in our research and just come together and be cool. I don't know how else to put it. You know, that's all we want, you know. And when we jump in, you know, like with our group, we have Uncle Spanky, which is a scary clown. And we don't have to use him very often. But when a thread starts going off and people are just going at each other and we throw Uncle Spanky at him, it kind of, you know, it wakes them up and they're like, wait a minute, maybe I'm not being so cool. It's worked, you know. I mean, we try to do it with humor. That's all I'm saying, you know, because we don't like having to jump like that. We're not babysitters or principals.
Yeah, I got it. Yeah, awesome. Well, we have Richter on hold here. We're going to take him now. Richter, Bigfoot Bounty, I'm going to take you now. He's been on hold for 20 minutes, so. Richter, how you doing, man?
Hey, it's funny you say this was ladies' night. It's good. I'm glad to be here, and I'm so glad to finally hear Cindy's voice and Susie. Wow.
Well, thank you.
A voice behind the words. How cool is that?
Thank you, Luscious.
Yeah, I got to say something, guys. I got to say something about Bigfoot Community, the Facebook group.
Yes.
It's been a long time since I've been a part of a group where I felt comfortable. For instance, I was a part of Team Taser before that fell apart. And it wasn't a very comfortable group. I had my friends, but then certain admins kind of pushed everybody away. You've got Jeffrey Kelly, who does the French News. There was Christopher York. There was my co-host, Tammy Murray. Even Sean Evidence has been pushed away, who did nothing but promote certain admins of that Facebook group. And there needs to be cohesion. There needs to be a community. And when you have egos in place, you're not going to have any of that. So thank God for these ladies and for Bugs and for everybody who's made this group because it's really cool. I mean, Bigfoot Community and on Facebook and Mulder's World that I'm a part of are the two main groups I thoroughly enjoy reading the posts and not have to worry about having to defend myself or, hey, Susie, who the hell is that guy? Cindy, why is that guy saying that? You know, it's really relaxed, and I really like that about the Bigfoot Community here.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. We appreciate that.
Oh, whoa. What about Monster X?
Well,
hey, we love Monster X, okay?
Jane, this is my first time with you, so I don't know. I'm kind of feeling you out.
All right.
So tell me about you, Shane. What got you interested in Bigfoot, if you haven't already said?
Oh, I have said. You know what? If some of our past archives, I've explained it, and don't get me wrong, I would love to talk about Shane's experience here, but this is ladies' night, so I'm not going to take away from the ladies. Ladies' night here. This is their venue I've given, so. But I appreciate it, though.
Oh, giving you a moment. Okay, where's Arla?
I'm here.
There she is, Arla.
I'm here.
Arla Williams, I got to say, I'm going to vote for you. I'm going to say that you are the first lady of Bigfooting.
Oh, my gosh.
Yep.
Oh, my gosh.
I am taking that title from Melissa Hovey. She doesn't deserve it anymore. I'm giving it to you, Miss Arla Williams.
So I've been Richter-fied. Is that it?
Yes,
Richter-verified, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Look out. New cartoon coming out.
Every year there's going to be a new first lady. So maybe it's going to be you next year.
Oh.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Just
so,
be kind in the drawing. Take off 50 pounds in about 20 years, okay?
Okay. Susie and Cindy, when you go over...
Richter can draw anything he wants, sister.
Oh, I will. Yeah. You never know who might be bent over the next drawing. Just ask my net moneymaker. All right. So
20 will be in the mail, Richter.
Right? So you're talking about when people post stuff and you talk about it like adults. There's also due diligence. And if someone's going to put out an image of a blob squatch or a tree root, you know, you have to go back and do measurements. Photo photography. Look at Bart Cattino's thermal imagery and Sierra's evidence initiatives. They set the standard, period. So you could feel whatever you want in Facebook groups, but if you don't back it up, you are going to get a spanking. Because you're making us all look like idiots. That's the problem. So many. Look at Rick Dyer. Oh, my God, I said his name. I'm sorry. Look at that hoaxer. Look at that hoaxer. Okay? There's no due diligence with that. Come on. You know what I mean? And then we have people like that that take advantage of all of us, who think Bigfoot's real, who know Bigfoot's real, who have faith in the research that's being conducted. And then, you know, you just got to kind of weed through all of this. So, you know, we have to hold each other up to standards. Right, ladies? I mean, if you're going to put it out, talk about it in an adult fashion, you know, and people that don't back up their work, you really can't pay them more attention because they're just attention whores. So, unfortunately, there's a lot of that in the Bigfoot community.
Well,
one of the
said.
Things that we did was we asked people to post comparison pictures, because I think if you go back to the area and take a picture, and what they were trying to show is no longer there, that says something in itself. And that's part of the research, is doing that follow-up, going back,
mm-hmm.
checking for evidence.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and I have seen a change here lately in the community, not just Bigfoot community, the Janosqua Project, the Coalition page, and several others, Mulder's World. They're starting to open up more and be kinder to one another, and allowing for more discussion, and it's wonderful to see. It really is. Because people are opening up more, and you're getting more ideas, and you know, you're finding out more that way. And,
well,
you know
what's
I've
sad,
made so many good friends.
What's sad, ladies and gentlemen, there are people that have phenomenal photos. There's this gentleman who has a great photo of a Sasquatch taken by his deer cam, and he shared it with Cliff Brackman. And Cliff cannot show it publicly yet because...
Right.
He gave this person his word. And let me tell you, it is a phenomenal photo. And you've got people with material like this who are afraid to come out. They don't want the ridicule. They don't want to be called crazy, you know, and they're kind of coming out of the woodwork.
Or Richter, they don't want their property trampled with people out there researching, you know. They just don't want the hassle.
Yeah.
Right, because let me tell you, a production crew, yeah, well, at least 100 to 200 people that's going to trample all over your stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, you know, we have to face it, too. There are people in this community who steal other people's photos and say they're their own.
Oh, yeah.
You know, this happens. And
I can speak up on that, too. As an admin, I get a lot of private messages from members that just want to show me their picture because they're too afraid to post it on the group. You know, because they're afraid of the criticism, and they're afraid people are going to steal the pictures. And I try to understand that, and that's why we're trying to fix what we're doing, so that they don't feel that they have to show privately. It's sad that they feel that way.
We also have the responsibility as we're all vocal. You know, we all have a voice, and so we also have that responsibility to speak up for them. To coach them, to give them advice, what to do, how to do it, who to avoid. You know, I mean, you know, I'm doing that all the time with people. I'm like, you need to come forward with that. You need to talk about it. You need to do this, do that. You know, because if you just sit on it, you know, you can have a holy grail image.
Agreed. Yeah.
You know?
I actually had someone approach me this week, actually two, for the same thing, where one was where they had a very interesting photo that I did an analysis on, and that may or may not come out. But it was very, very interesting photo, and that's about all I can say on it. But the other one was somebody who approached me and said, what do? I have a person taking my photos and posting them as their own. So my advice to anybody listening is watermark your photos. Before you even post them, watermark
them. You know, stealing, we had a huge... situation where someone stole someone's photo and claimed it as their own and then took it to court and totally failed. So you have to make sure you have your photo and it's yours. You know, it's plagiarism. It's horrible.
Yes.
Yeah. It's, you know, I have a photo of a young male that I've seen many times and have interacted with him some. It's not a definitive photo, but the only thing about it is I knew he was there. I saw him when I took the photo. And you won't ever see me post a photo and say, oh, I found this in my photo when I got back home and downloaded it. I won't do that. If I say I have a photo, I saw him there when I took the photo. But with this particular photo, and I call him Indigo, and it's ended up all over everywhere with people saying either they took the photo or they had a good friend who took the photo. And it's kind of funny because it really doesn't bother me about that. I mean, it's not a definitive photo anyway, you know. So, but it's just that fact that people don't stop to think about, you know, just taking something. Oh, it's out there on the internet, or it's in a Facebook group, or it's somewhere else. So it just belongs to everybody. And, you know, if you have some common courtesy, most of the people I know who do have their stuff watermarked, you know, will say, sure, you know, you can share it. So there we go back again to that respect. Ask people. Go to people. Talk to them and before you do anything.
Agreed.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'd like to add on that, and for those people that don't know how to watermark, if they're fairly new to this, they can always reach out to someone like for myself or Arla or Cindy or any of the other admins. We'd be more than happy to help them watermark before they post as well. Just want to let everybody out there know that.
Yeah. Well, you know, good point brought up, though. If you have something like that, a good photo or footage or something of that nature, you know, don't necessarily just throw it on Facebook. You know, approach one of the respectable researchers out there and ask their opinion, you know, and get their feedback. You know, they may disagree with you or agree with you, but get their feedback first and then go from there before you go posting on Facebook, because on Facebook you're going to get nailed if you haven't done your
you're gonna get railed.
Shane, yeah. Can I add to that? I also suggest getting to know a doctor, like for instance my case, Dr. Disatel from New York University. If I were to ever get my hands on something, he would be the first person I would go to with it before I would post on Facebook or go up to anybody else. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Approach somebody. Yeah. With some credibility, somebody that's going to give you the time of day. And there's a lot of people out there, you know. Some of these people are hard to get a hold of, but be patient, you know, and get a hold of them and ask their opinion. And 9 times out of 10, they're going to give you their honest answer, and they're going to tell you where to go from there. Maybe they'll even come out to your area or you know, really review your picture or footage or whatever you have, and then you know, then post it, you know, with, you know, watermark, you know, whatever you have, you know, to legitimize your photo or footage. I mean,
but also a good point is Facebook is actually very useful for this, because a lot of these, you know, the big researchers that have, you know, well-named people, they're on these groups. They're easy to approach now. You know, it's not just armchair researchers anymore. You know, it's networking at its finest.
Yeah.
Well, ladies, I got to say, before Facebook and before we had Bigfoot forums, you know, all we had was pretty much the BFRO, their website, you know, and, and then seeing Barcatino's images on YouTube and just being kind of like just wanting to be a part of the community somehow. And now because of Facebook, we are all so easily reachable. You know, even the cast minus Matt Moneymaker, but Bobo and, you know, Renee and even Cliff, they're so easily reachable to talk to and show your stuff.
Absolutely,
to.
Yeah. Yeah, and like I said, sometimes these guys are so busy, but they will get back to you. Eventually they will get back to you. They love, you know, we're all in this kind of together, and they will listen to you. They will look at your photo, footage, story, whatever, and they will get back to you. Just got to be patient. A lot of times, you know, people are like, oh, they haven't responded. Well, these guys are being hounded, you know. Richard, you can vouch for that. These guys are being hounded the amount of stuff they have to go through is crazy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but you'd also be surprised. You think, you know, just because someone might be on a television show like that, they you know, they have lonely nights in the hotel room wanting to interact with us fans.
Right.
You know, so, you know, just got to put yourself out there. And you know, if you don't hear from them, you know, try contacting Cindy. Cindy can contact me. She can contact somebody else. You know, it's all within a matter of minutes because of technology. Anybody can be accessed. Mark Catino, Derek Randles, oh, my gosh, two of the most accessible men on this planet. Well, if only they were accessible. Well, anyway, you know.
Well, no. You're right, you know. I'm good friends with Derek Randles, you know, and he will get back to you, and he will be – as polite as can be. Same with Bart, like Richard said, you know, Cliff, Renee Bubble, all these guys. I mean, and that's a few names thrown out there. I mean, there's tons of people that we haven't mentioned, yeah, that are so accessible, especially with Facebook, Twitter, and all these sites, you know, and they're really just awesome individuals that, you know, get a bad rap sometimes, but they're really in it for the research, you know.
Absolutely. They're not in it for the fame. You know, they already know they're the top dogs in Bigfooting, and that's it. That's where they want to be, and they are deserve to be the top dogs. You know, and look at the fact. There's no such thing as an actual Bigfoot expert. There isn't, because science has yet to actually give it the credibility and the knowledge it needs to be, you know, taken for. So until then, we just have these people that we hold in high regard because of their due diligence, their credibility, their character, and their work. It all speaks for itself.
Yeah, very true. Well, we're going to take a short break here, and then we'll be right back.
Okay, can I talk for you? Can I talk for my muted? Him?
right, everybody. Welcome back. I just wanted to take a quick minute here to thank some of the groups and pages on Facebook that allow us to post our blog for the radio show and who support us. One of them being our own Facebook group. If you're not in it, you should check it out, Monster X Radio. And we got Shane's group, Washington County Bigfoot Association. That's Washington County, Oregon. We got Paul and Dan's group, the Janosqua Project. They've been on our show quite often. We got Bigfoot Research News, my page, Facebook Find Sasquatch, and our friends over at Zen Yeti. So thank you guys for all the support and everything else. All right, well, we're back, everyone. What's going on?
Hey, is Crystal coming in?
I hope so.
Let's see if
she's on the skeptical side, but yet out doing her thing. So, I mean, for her to call in would be awesome. I hope she calls in.
Yeah, because Susie messaged me saying she thinks Crystal's coming in. That'd be kind of cool. I like talking to skeptics, you know, because when I have a skeptic, he's like, well, why do you think Bigfoot's real? I'm like, well, humans weren't always the one single hominid on this planet. Neanderthals shared the land with us 30,000 years ago. So who's to say we don't have another hominid, you know, that was smart and hid in the forest away from us and the Neanderthals? And they've adapted and, you know, become strong in their own private, solitary lives. And no one can argue that point when I bring up the whole Neanderthal Homo sapien coexistence point. So, yeah, remember that, people, when people give you a hard time about believing in Bigfoot.
Yeah, it's hard to argue because, you know, like Derek Randall has said, you know, there's not many, I mean, his belief and my belief too, there's not many of them, but they are super intelligent and obviously, you know, they exist, which I do believe they do. They know how to avoid us at all costs, and when they show themselves, they kind of know that they're showing themselves unless they're caught off guard. But at the same time, they are there.
Mm-hmm. Right. And you know what? 30,000 years ago, they were probably watching, you know, Homo sapiens fighting with the Neanderthals. I'm like, oh, hell no. I'm going to go down there to that valley. I'm going to stay up here in the forest. Mm-hmm. And that's why they survived. You know, the humans, you know, pretty much stayed in the valleys, agriculture, you know, make villages, whatever, and we didn't venture forward into the deep, dark forests. Actually, Native Americans did, and that's where they had that coexistence agreement with them. Okay, we won't go up there on the Skookum Mountain. We'll stay over here. You know what I mean? So there was like that unspoken word between both cultures. And
right,
then the white man comes, you know, the white man comes, and the Indians are like, don't go up there. You're going to get killed. What happens? You're going to get killed. You know? There's a reason for it.
Yeah. Digger Dog in the chat room brought up a good point. You know, Derek Randall has used the term hypersensitive. You know, I mean, the Sasquatch in their environment are hypersensitive, I believe, to their surroundings way more than us. You know, when we step into their house, they know we're there. I mean, and they're watching us. You know, just like so many times I've been out in the field, bears and cougars are all around us. We just never see them. And that's the same with Sasquatch. They're there. We just never see them. They see us. They know we're there. They avoid us.
Mm-hmm.
It's very simple in that concept.
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah.
So, Cindy, Shane, you guys, how do you deal with the skeptics when they come at you saying, oh, come on, Bigfoot, really? Come on. What's your report?
Well, first of all, I always invite skeptics, especially if they live close to me, out to the field. I said, hey, come out with me sometime, and we'll go out to one of my areas that I go out to, and just, you know, maybe we'll get something, maybe we won't, but at least come out. I provide them the platform and opportunity to come out to the area that I go to experience a possible encounter or, maybe find some evidence that Sasquatch does exist. You know, that's the first and foremost thing I do. After that, you know, I give them information. You know, a lot of information from, Dr. Jeff Meldrum, Cliff Brockman, a lot of these guys. You know, I provide and some of the information that I've gathered myself. I throw that out there. And, and when they come back at me again, I say, hey, you know, have you been out in the field, period? You know, have you been out there or are you just a computer junkie doing your thing online, you know, and 9 times out of 10, they're like, yeah, I'm just on the computer and whatnot. Well, I said, hey, come out to the field, or at least go to an area. I'll provide them an area to go to do their own thing or whatnot. But, I mean, there's so many avenues that skepticism to me is I'd like it, and I'm welcome to it. But I think the evidence out there is hard to explain away, especially in remote areas where you find footprints and tracks and that nature, and with the amount of stories, too, and encounters. I mean, there's hundreds, if not, I mean, there's thousands of stories and encounters that cannot be explained away as a bear or a hoax or whatnot. I mean, it's phenomenal that people aren't willing to giving it a chance. You know, I don't mind a skeptic that will take in the information and go, well, there's a chance, but I'm still skeptic. That's fine. When they come out and say downright, there's no way, not a chance, you know, you go back to the Billy Ape, like you had mentioned earlier. That's a perfect example, you know.
Right, and there's also the hierarchy of the paranormal. I talked with a particular doctor. Can't say his name because I'm on a certain television program coming out. However, I asked, you know, how would you rate, you know, Bigfoot, but like Loch Ness Monster or aliens or UFOs? And, you know, this particular doctor said, I would put Bigfoot as number one because there's data in the tracks and there's a lot of evidence that is interesting, unquote. So that's kind of cool when you have a skeptic, that's the word that's best described to put up with your doctor, that could say there's something there and it needs to be looked at. You know, because that's what a scientist's job is to do, to look at it. You know, if you're testing something and you have this preconceived notion, this is what my result's going to be, and gosh darn it, that's going to be what the result is. Okay, you shouldn't be a scientist. Because if you're testing something and you get the complete opposite of what you were expecting, well, look at that. Who knew that was going to happen? Wow. And then you send that off and have Cindy test it. Then you have Shane test it. Then you have Johnny test it. Then you've got, you know, Jay Cooney testing it up in his parents' basement. And, you know, wow, look at all these different results or the same results. That's what science is about. Without the intent to prove, you know, right? I mean, you got to be open-minded.
No one should be biased going in. You should be objective about the evidence.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, very well said.
That's one of the things I was so turned on about Dr. Ketchum in the beginning is that she was allegedly sending out samples blindly for other people to test for the science paper that was supposed to be coming out. And I was such a team supporter for her and Camp Ketchum. I was so excited. Oh, my gosh, sending out samples blindly, telling people, hey, test this. Tell me what you think it is. I was like, wow, that's cool, you know. But, yeah, we all know what happened there. We won't go there. But, you know, so that's what you got to do. You got to send this stuff off. Hey, test that. Tell me what you think it is, you know.
Yeah.
And scientists, and yes, the whole science, what's that, Brandenburg Society? What's that society that's supposed to control everything, the all-seeing eye? You know what I'm talking about.
Brandenburg, yeah, something like that.
Oh, the Bilderberg?
Bilderberg
Society, yes. Science is kind of like that. They're automatically, you know, laughing at Bigfoot, at the possibility of it being real. And if we all prove that it's real, they'll be like, well, we've been trying to tell you all this time. Why were you turning a blind eye to it? Why didn't you give it serious cognitive thought into the, you know, the possibility that this sample is an unknown hominid, right? I mean, there's that working against you, and that's, been, of course, Dr. Ketchum's claim why she had to create her own journal, De Novo, because science was against her from the very beginning. Well, you know, maybe, you know, you just got to be patient and not be so jumping the gun. I mean, I would have waited another 5 more years if her results were going to be taken seriously by the scientific community. You know,
Victor, I got a question. Victor, I got a question for you before we take our next caller. Do you wear Crocs on your new Bigfoot Bounty show? Do you wear Crocs?
I am all leather.
Okay.
So leather boots. You know, the more the leather, the better. I just draw the line at chaps.
Yeah, I saw that jacket. That jacket did look good on Sean, too.
Yeah. Oh, let's take your next caller.
All right.
Let's do it.
801, you're on air with us.
Hey.
Hey.
Hello.
Hey, Summer.
Is it Summer?
How are you?
Great. How are you doing tonight?
I should have known when it was ladies' night that Richter would be on.
Hey.
Hey, how are you?
Great, girl.
So how's everybody doing?
Great, Summer. We're doing great, and we're glad you called in. I know you've been kind of chatting with me, waiting to call in, so I'm glad to have you aboard here. And, I know you're in Utah, right?
I am.
You're in Utah, the great state of Utah, and
right.
you're kind of a new person to the Bigfoot community in general, and you've gone out and I think with your husband and kids and put some videos out there and stuff like that. And so tell us a little bit about yourself. I know everything about you, but a lot of our viewers don't.
All right. We live in Utah, and I got kind of interested in this when my kids came home from school one day and said, Mom, Bigfoot's real. He lives here in Utah. And I was like, oh, really? Okay. And turned on the news that night, and lo and behold, this Provo Canyon Bigfoot footage had come out. And, you know, I had never really been interested at all, but it sure looked like something to me. And I happened to live about 10 minutes from there, so it kind of creeped me out a little bit. But, you know, we got into the whole finding Bigfoot scene. My kids were loving it, and people can say what they want to about that show, but for my family, it's been an awesome thing, because if nothing else, it gave us a question that we wanted to answer, you know.
Yeah.
So we've been out, and we've tried to find the exact location of where that footage was obtained. Not as easily said than done. So we've gotten close. We've had some pretty weird things happen to us, but nothing definitive. But we're just really interested in the whole topic. I think if anyone says that it is absolutely, there's no way possible that these creatures are out there, then they're just ignorant. They're not researching. They're not paying attention to what's really happening, because if you really look at the evidence, you cannot say that there's no way. You can say it's improbable or unlikely, but there's just too much out there that says, maybe. And we found some maybe stuff.
Very nice. Yeah, you did a lot of videos. You were pretty active this last summer.
Yeah, we were really going out probably about 3 times a week, because that's where we lived, you know. And our videos were kind of silly, because we're kind of silly.
They were awesome.
It's just fun for us. It's fun to go out, and if nothing else, we learned how to identify moose sign, elk sign, and we even found some lion sign, which was pretty terrifying. But like you were saying earlier, how there's animals out watching you when you have no idea they're there. We lived in mountain lion country, and I guarantee you there was some big cats watching us when we just had no clue. What have you guys been talking about tonight?
Skeptics. What else, guys? Are you talking about Facebook Bigfoot group standards, how we should be treating each other and Bigfoot communities, how that Facebook group has kind of taken the lead? Wouldn't you say so, ladies, that we're, you know, trying to bring all forms of discussion to the table and not to be criticizing each other and, you know.
Very nice.
Pro-kill, no-kill. It's, you know,
yikes.
An adult fashion. It can be discussed, and it should be.
Amazing, huh? A little etiquette, a little courtesy.
So you moved somewhere, huh? You're not living in the...
setting an example.
What was that, Shane?
That's Johnny. You moved from the mountains, huh?
We did. Oh. We just moved a few weeks ago from the mountains. Now we're in the big city, which I don't know if it's really considered the big city, but we're about, an hour from where we used to live. So kind of sad now. Only thing keeping us up at nights is traffic. But, you know, what are you going to do?
Well, you're still close to a...
That's right. I guess, you know, compared to, like, people living in L.A. or whatever, we're still in amongst it.
Yeah. You know, I had a question for all you ladies. I think most guys, you know, are all for more women joining the community. And what do you think can be done to get more women interested in Bigfoot?
Who wants to take it?
Personally, I think it's how we interact with each other,
mm-hmm.
and what is said in the group, and how people present themselves. You know, the ladies aren't going to speak up or get involved if everybody's in there being bullies and
right.
being mean and fighting. You know, I see that. I just scroll past it unless I'm an admin. That
yeah.
If I'm an admin, I'm jumping in and saying, hey, stop. But otherwise, I'll just say, you know what, I'm not even dealing with this conversation. I'm out of here. And I will say that in the past 6 months now, I have not spoken a lot in the groups because of the behavior. You know, I have core groups that I really like, and I will talk in those occasionally. But as a general rule, I don't say much anymore because of the behavior that I have seen. I've gotten more shy and more pulled into my shell, so to speak. And Susie's trying to pull me out kicking and dragging. But it's because of the way people treat each other sometimes that I think the women tend to shy away. Because
yeah.
we don't want our children exposed to that. We don't want to be exposed to that. We want to see, you know, good behavior. And some of the groups have children in them, and we have to
mm-hmm.
set a good example and realize that they're going to be interested in the topic. They're going
right.
to be in these groups. So, you know, we have to make it family-friendly, unless it's a group that states, hey, I'm 18 or older.
Right.
You know, you're underage, you're not coming in here. But for the general groups that are open, you know, to the public and allow families in there, they need to realize that children are exposed to this and that when you're misbehaving and calling each other idiots and stuff, you're setting an example to them. And they look up to that person maybe because of something that they have said that is good. And then they see them acting that way, they tend to emulate what they see. And, you know, as a mother and a grandmother, I don't want to see my children or my grandchildren act that way or be exposed to that.
Yeah.
And so I think that if you want more women involved in the community, we have to make it more of a friendly place. I mean, I love Summer's videos that she goes out with the kids. I get such a kick out of them. I do. I love it. It's like, you know, your whole family is involved, and they're having fun. They're getting outdoors. And like you said, they're learning about nature, about the tracks and things.
Yeah.
And those are the kind of things that we need to show the children that are in the groups, you know, and some of them are young adults
right.
too, but we need to set that example and make it a place where everybody has a voice. And I think you'll see then more women will open up and start to talk, because a lot of these groups do have a good amount of women in them, but they're mm-hmm. not very vocal. Some are more braver than others, and some are more shy. And you know, when you see that fighting, you're just like, good Lord, and you just want to walk away from it, and it makes it hard. And, you know, and I'm not blaming that on the men, because there's women who are argumentative too.
Right.
But it's just, as a general rule, you're just like, I'm out, you know. And there's just a handful of groups that I'm in now that I value because of the discussion I see there, how they're moderated and how they treat others. And I think that's the big difference that's going to make more women come in, because I'm sure there's a lot that are interested. I shared something with Shane, and I'll share it now, but I've been putting
yes.
together a team, and I happen to be tutoring out at the school, and one of the people I was tutoring, we kind of were chatting and ended up eating lunch together, and we're talking about hobbies, and I told her about my involvement in Bigfoot, and she smiled, and she said, you know what my major is? And I was like, no, she's an animal behaviorist. And I got very excited because she's interested in being part of the team. And so I kind of invited her, and she's like, oh, no, I don't know if I want to do that. I've peeked in.
Yeah.
So here is somebody who could have some very valuable insight that is a woman who says, whoa, no, I've peeked in. I've seen that stuff. And
well, the online community is really – you have to differentiate between the online Bigfoot community and the Bigfoot community as a whole, because the online community is really abrasive and not something it's easy to jump into. It took me about a year of just silently observing before I ever spoke, and it's a scary thing. But I think that women and men. There's a lot of people who could really contribute, but they don't feel like that it's a safe place to talk. Maybe they haven't found the right group or whatever. My youngest daughter, she actually made a Facebook just so that she could interact and find Bigfoot buddies, right? But there's only one group that I found for her age group, and very rarely do they ever communicate. So I would love to see, you know, more things happen within the community. I thought we actually took some of Rosie's friends out squatching, and just to kind of introduce them to, you know, what it's all about. And I think it's, you know, not just an online thing, but something to do within your communities as well.
And I think you just pointed on something very important there, because I said the same thing. I sat back and watched for a long time
mm-hmm.
before I interacted.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of women, as well as men, that are doing just that.
Yep.
They're afraid to engage, afraid to get in there because of some of the behavior they have seen.
Yeah.
And if we want them to come out and talk, it has to be a friendly place, you know.
Yeah.
And it's getting there, because I am seeing differences in some of the groups. But, you know, there are some where alternating opinions just are not accepted. You're ostracized immediately.
Well, yeah. Having said that, Cindy, I mean, a lot of people don't feel comfortable posting stuff on Facebook. And like we touched upon before, like Richter has, there's many avenues to getting your encounters or pictures or whatever you have to substantiate, you know, to certain people besides Facebook. And, you know, reach out to the ones that you trust on Facebook, if that's your avenue of, you know, to reach out to people. I mean, get in touch with certain people, and they'll lead you to other avenues that will be you can confide in, and not necessarily be posted all over the internet, but they will lead you in the right direction. There's plenty of trusted people out there that when you share something, it stays with you and that person, and goes to in the direction that you want it to go in. And you don't have to just throw it on Facebook or, you know, any other place, and it won't be out there, you know, if you feel you're going to get ridiculed. So please reach out to, there's plenty of respected people out there, skeptics and believers alike. So
yeah, you know, there's more and more women now who, of course, I didn't know what the Bigfoot Research World was. So when I came in, I just started talking like I've always talked, and oh yeah, I got slammed and threatened, and one guy was going to come and smash my face in, and bunch of other stuff, you know. So that women see this, and one of the things that I see is women are finding us. They find Susie, they find Cindy, and you know, they find me, and I'm sure they're out there contacting like some of these other women who are in this now, trying to find a place to do that. You know, for me, of course, it's the Bigfoot community Facebook page. It's I've never stayed a part of a group that was as diverse in thought as BC is ever before. I mean, I would get nailed left and right, and, you know, I'm going to be respectful. You can nail me up, but I'm, you know, not going to come back at you. But when I was invited to come to BC, I watched for a couple of days, you know, and I thought, you know, what the heck? I'm so used to being shot at or nailed up or whatever, you know. I'm still going to voice my opinion. And what I began to see was you can do that in BC. You know, now we may not catch every little post, and someone may come back at you, but I can guarantee you it's not going to take over a couple of posts, and someone's going to be there to help you, whether
right.
you're talking about cloaking or whether you're talking about doing something in a truly scientific message. you know, the admins, and we have male admins too, you know, so, but they're going to be there, and that's what we want, you know, with this Facebook page that we have, Bigfoot Community, is to provide a place.
Can I add something? Mm-hmm. You are all a group, and you do not have a tyrant running things, and that's one of the awesome things about Bigfoot Community. You know, you guys will discuss among yourselves, okay, this person is doing this, what should we do about that, blah, blah, blah. It's like a council, whereas you're not like a single person turning it into your own personal fan club like somebody else might have done in other groups or current groups. Michael Merch, excuse me. Dr. Johnson. Well,
I'm going to play the fifth on that one.
But I'm serious. You know, it's Bigfoot isn't about ego and, you know, personal fandom. It's about the enjoyment of Sasquatch, the magic, the mystery. Yeah. What is it? Is it a monster? Is it a forest friend? Is it a hominid? What does it walk through interdimensional portals? We don't know, right? What about it has to be entertaining and fun. I mean,
right.
When I was a little kid watching In Search Of, oh my God, I was hiding under the, you know, the covers. Now I'm a 40-year-old man looking for this thing, like, you know, cameras on me out in the middle of nowhere, pitch dark. Oh my God, what did I get myself into? You know, so it's cool. It's confronting your fear.
Leonard Nimoy fans.
One of the things that we do in several of the groups I admin in that I think is really important is just what Richter touched on, is that we converse about things. If we have an issue, you know, we're talking about it. We're in admin chat. We're doing a vote. We're seeing, you know, what we think is the right way to handle the situation. We also keep a running list of the children in the group, so that we know if that children's in that thread, if they're posting, we're on it. We're watching it. You know, we're keeping
That's
a close
good.
Eye out, kids.
You got to do
and,
it.
You know, yeah, you do, because there's just too many things out there. You know, the wrong word, they're going to repeat it. And, you know, and I value that because I think it's so important to have that communication between the admins and these groups and not be a dictatorship. It's a democracy in, you know, its best form. You know,
well,
we all
have. I think that everyone needs to. Sorry, I didn't mean to talk over you there. I think what people seem to forget that have been in this for a long time is that they were new once too. They came in once too and knew nothing. And I'm so grateful for, you know, it's probably within the first week that I started speaking that I had some awesome people, you know, kind of come alongside me and befriend me and really kind of look out for me throughout this whole adventure. But I think that some people that have been doing this for a long time tend to forget that, you know, not everyone only lives in the Bigfoot world, that we don't go around just automatically knowing everything. And so I really appreciate it when people take the time to explain things to me or explain the history behind something or just have some patience with me because I am new. And I hope that, you know, when I've been doing this 10 years, that I will remember that and that I'll, you know, have grace for people.
Hey, Cindy. Cindy, we're going to get another caller on here in a second here, but I'm curious, what are some of those groups that you spoke of earlier that you feel are some of the more welcoming groups that are with less drama?
Well, your group, the Washington County Group. I, of course, BC and Chinasqua Project. There is a group out there that Lonnie Gallos runs called Encounters.
Mm-hmm.
18. It's an 18 and older group. Not that they're doing anything bad in there, but it's
right.
Usually serious discussion. There's one called Finding Bigfoot. I'm trying to think off the top. I like Mulder's World. They kind of cover all of the different cryptoids. And, you know, I like the coalition page. It sometimes can be a heated battle, very scientific, very logic-oriented. But I'll tell you, they're on top of their threads. They do a great job of adminning. You know, I'm sure I'm forgetting some, and I apologize for that if I have. But, you know, I have seen that difference, and it really...
Monster X.
Is yep, of course, Monster X. That's right. And, you know, I value those discussions. I may not always say anything, but I'm on them. I'm reading them. You know, people post articles or videos. I'm listening to them. I'm watching them and, you know, reading the articles that they post. And, you know, there's a lot of good radio shows out there that are really interesting. The 14 Flip is good. And
yeah,
and After Hours, of course.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah,
we got Crystal here. We got to get her on before we run out of time.
Get her on.
Crystal. Yay.
Hello.
Welcome, Crystal.
Hi, everybody.
Hello.
Hi. How are you guys?
Doing good.
Good. It's so nice to hear everyone on, Cindy and Summer. Hi. It's nice to finally hear your voice. I know.
Nice
hey,
to
Crystal,
hear
nice to meet you.
Hi, nice to meet you, too.
Excellent,
Crystal. You'll never guess what we're talking about. You'll never guess. You'll never guess what we're talking about. Yes!
Bigfoot.
Yay!
Oh, good. She's on board.
Always. Always talking about Bigfoot.
Well, Crystal, it's great to have you on the show, and you've been on the show before.
I like to, call and say hello, yes, yep.
Yes, you're a big hello fan, so we appreciate that. But, you know, we've been talking about Bigfoot and a lot of the groups and some of their stuff out there. You know, Crystal, you're a little bit more on board of the skepticism side, which is great. What got you interested in Bigfoot? This is Ladies' Night. Tell us your thoughts.
In Bigfoot. Bigfoot,
yes.
Sort of, it was always in the back of my mind, maybe just subliminally, and I didn't realize it. And I don't really know what ended up clicking officially, but about a year ago, I found out that there was an online community, and that's that. And that was, seriously, that's that. As soon as
I
saw.
And you also have
this,
a group.
Yes,
I do.
Yes, Crystal's got a nice group.
Thank you. I do have a group. And that was...
Three strides.
Yes, and at the time of creating that group, it was more an effort to get people together to talk and hang out. It wasn't so much that I had anything of interest or value to offer anyone. It was just more of a, you know... a gathering of people who wanted to hang out and talk because I love it so much. I love talking to the people and hearing everybody's ideas and everyone's, you know, everything. And in the, it was a lot easier coming into the community with the preconceived notion that Bigfoot most likely does exist, and that's how I came in. And that was just, you know, that's a probability that this thing probably exists. And let me tell you about how much smoother conversations go when that's your mindset. Because once you get in a little bit further, and because I myself, I've not had any sightings or encounters or anything of that nature, so I was always more a believer in the possibility. But once you are going along with what the trend is, you're okay. But once you say, hey, now, wait a minute, no, as long as you're on with the trend, it's so you're going to be okay. And it is. They're all good people. Everyone I've met has been good people. It's not anything like you would expect it to be. When you think Bigfoot, you do assume, you know, maybe a little bit of weirdness here and there. But for the most part, everyone that I've met have been very intellectual, very well-rounded, good people.
So you being a kind of a newbie to the community, what are your general thoughts on, like, has joining the realm of the Bigfoot community given you more insight, or has it been more of a downfall for you? In believing or disbelieving, yeah.
It's helped in both ways. I find myself now... I like Bigfoot a lot better whenever I keep it a private affair, the way that it was in my mind to begin with. I fare a lot better without help from other people. But at the same time, there's a I don't know how to put it. there is a wealth of knowledge. I don't know how you want to take that, because there isn't a whole lot that's solid or concrete that, you know, anyone can say for sure, but people have been putting work in, and they have selflessly been sharing their views and findings and their knowledge about, you know, any aspect that you can think of. And it's readily available, and it's free for the taking, so take it. I did.
Yeah. Yes.
So it
well
is. It's good on both parts, you know.
Yeah, definitely. Well, it looks like we got another caller here. Let's add him on to the party. 435, you're on MXR.
Hey, guys. Hey, this is Art.
Hey, Art.
Art.
How are you doing, man?
Hi.
Hey, Art. But, yeah, it's nice to hear all the different points of view tonight. Ladies' night is a really good idea. I'm glad Richter showed up, too. it doesn't matter. All right, well. But I think we should really listen to what the women have to say. You know, there's definitely a different point of view there, you know. They seem to attract them, you know, especially the kids and stuff. But, no, I think we're missing out if we don't accept their point of view, definitely. And I like Arla's approach, too. But, anyway.
Thank you. Well, I've spent a lot of time in the woods. I'm probably have known about Bigfoot more years than most of you are old. So it's, you know, and the biggest part of that time is being spent in the woods. And, you know, I always tell people, hey, go to the woods and have fun. Don't go with this big thought in your mind that you're going to prove something or whatever. Go have fun and do what you do respectfully and take what you get and then do something with it. And, you know, always remember, not everything in the woods is Bigfoot.
Right.
You know, so, yeah, go have fun. That's kind of how I do it.
Yeah, I like that approach. You just kind of, you go there to experience what is there and you're not expecting anything.
Well, yeah, let me direct this question to Richter. I mean, Richter, you were on the show Bigfoot Bounty. I mean, and you got to hang out with some cool people and do a lot of fun things. I mean, wasn't that your approach to what you had done?
Well, here's the thing, guys. I had never done Bigfooting before. I live in Las Vegas. I've always been kind of landlocked. And that being said, this was my first time, you know, Spike TV was going to be popping my Bigfoot cherry.
Virgin.
I don't mean to be kind of dirty, but, I mean, I was a Bigfoot virgin.
I love you, Richter.
Hey, well, Richter.
I kind of speak off
Richter.
The top.
I have a question for you. There has been a misconception going on about the Bigfoot Bounty Show. I've seen a lot of people comment and say, oh, they were out there with guns, they're going to kill Bigfoot, blah, blah, blah. Would you please put it on record right now?
All right, I'm going to say the following. Bigfoot
came out with an elephant gun.
Raises the bar, all right? We have our own scientists. We have our own laboratory. Does other Bigfoot shows have that? No. You know, every single hunt that we go on, the scientists and the lab is there, right there with us. There is no guns. This is a reality show. If we had guns, we would be shooting each other. Michael Merchant would be dead, and I would be running from the law. And that's because of Bigfoot Bounty. That's because of all the shit that went down with Team Taser and Zenyatti. So, you know, reality, you know, stars do not have guns. We're not out to kill Bigfoot. We're out to prove that Bigfoot's real through DNA. Proper DNA collecting, you know, photographic evidence, physical evidence. No squatches were harmed. Arla, we're not gonna, you know, Arla, I would love to go up to Squatch, grab him by the hand, bring him up to the camera and say, I won, okay? That's to me the ideal way. That way I'm not hurting Squatch. I'm not making, you know, Team Squatch and USA angry and sending me hate mail, you know? So It's all about raising the bar, and you guys are going to love it when it comes out. Oh, my God, it is so going to be cool. Trust me.
I can't wait.
Trust Mama Richter. It'll be great. And you know what? Since we're talking about ladies' night, this is, you know, Bigfoot Bounty, there's women on the show. I mean, Bigfoot's got one woman, Renee Holland, and she's a skeptic. Bigfoot Bounty, you have, you know, quite a few women, and they're intelligent and smart and beautiful, and you guys just wait. You guys are going to be in for such a treat. Trust me on this. And I'm not just saying that because I'm on the show. I'm the biggest critic. I will criticize myself left and right, first and foremost. So, guys, we're not out to kill a Bigfoot. If you see any rifles, it might be because of DNA collecting, teaching us the methods of proper procedures in collecting DNA from animals. So do not jump the gun and say, oh, my God, they're out to kill and shoot us. That's awesome. No. We'd be shooting each other first.
Yeah. Well, if you're on the TV, if you're on TV, period, you're gonna get freaking nailed.
Yep. Yes,
right.
Sir.
You know, period. You know, so yeah, and everybody brings their own background with them and their knowledge base, and it's to everyone's benefit. Actually, everybody has something to bring when it comes to Bigfooting. Whether you're a redneck, whether you're a closet case, whether you're a big outspoken homosexual like me. You know, everybody has something to contribute to Bigfooting. And that's one of the things about Bigfoot Bounty that is so amazing. You have all these different walks of life all in the pursuit of Sasquatch. It's not the good old boy network anymore.
Yep.
I will say, though, I met Renee in person, and I think she's hot. That's just my opinion. I think she's
pretty
hot.
Oh, she's the most good-looking guy on the show.
I think she's hot, too.
She is hot. She gave me a nice little... She gave me
a nice little
cuddle hug, and yeah, I was like, wow, I'm in love.
You push over.
Yeah, well, you know, Bigfoot, hot woman, yeah, sold.
Yeah, sure. Right on. Hey, I'll hang up. Thanks, guys. It's been a great show. I really love it.
All right,
tonight.
Art.
Hey,
thanks, Art,
Art,
for calling. Appreciate it, man.
Well, and I see a lot of positive things coming in the community. There's some good conferences coming up. Bigfoot community is doing a camp out.
Yep.
I'll let you spill on the dates for that. And the Janosco Project is going to be doing their festival at Latonia. And that's June 20th through the 22nd or 23rd. And Dr. Melodrum is going to be there and William Barnes. And, you know, that's going to be exciting. I'll let Susie fill in on the other one. But, I see a lot of positive things coming, and it's nice. It really is. It's good to see.
Yeah, the Janosco Fest looks like to be a blast. I would love to make it to that. It would be a great place for all of us to meet up.
I agree. I think it'd be a lot of fun.
Yeah, Bigfoot Community has a big camp out coming up next year in June. All members have been invited, and hopefully you can make it too, Shane. That'd be nice.
I'm going to really try.
Where's your camp out?
Where is your camp out held?
Yeah, where is your camp out?
It's in Willow Creek, California.
Oh, okay.
Ooh, I'm going. I'll be there. Hey, I'll bring Bart.
Excellent. Yeah, excellent.
Everybody's welcome to come, guys.
No, I hope to be there. I hope to make both the Janosco Project and the Willow Creek event. It's on my list, you know. I just got back from the Sasquatch Summit, which was phenomenal. You know, I thought Bart might make an appearance, but he didn't. You know, we had Cliff there and Derek and Jeff and Phil Poling, a whole list of really top-notch people in the field, and I was blown away. So I really hope to make those events because, you know, I learn a lot from these events, you know, and I get to meet some of the people online that I've never met before and hear from them, you know, and it's fabulous. I hope to meet Richter one of these days. Maybe he's coming to the Willow Creek one. If he does, I'll probably be there.
I would love to. It'd be a lot of fun. Hey, I'll bring the beer. We'll see what happens.
You've already got the invite, Richter. We'll just close the campground down.
Oh, yeah, big party. No, it'd be fun. I can't wait. But, having you guys on here tonight has been really awesome, and I really enjoyed having you guys on here and just hearing a little piece from everybody as a community. It's been fun.
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun. Thanks for having me.
Yes, thank you as well. I've very much enjoyed it. You guys are a ball of laughs. I love it.
Well, we try to be, you know, we try to be, and we try to get a little bit of info from everybody. You know, we've had some of the best, we have had the best on this show, and I am friends with some of the best, and I hope to be a friend, be friends
you
with
are
some
of the
best.
Of
the
best.
That I, yeah, well, I appreciate that. You know, there's a lot to be learned from a lot of people, and if you exclude everybody, you learn nothing. So to have, you know, everybody on the show like we have, you know, we learn a lot, and we have a good laugh and get to know people. And for those that I have not met yet, I hope to meet them and, you know, share experiences and stories and just encounters or just thoughts. You know, I really enjoy it.
Mm-hmm. Well, we enjoy you, too.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Good night. It's always fun to hear the different opinions and to learn from each other. I mean, in the last 2 years alone, I have learned in leaps and bounds and different things because when someone posts something, and, you know, there are some phenomenal people, some really smart individuals,
uh-huh.
and they'll post something about anthropology, like earlier when Richter was talking about the Neanderthals, I'll go and I'll research that and to see, okay, what is it they're talking about? And it's like I'll research it and something will click and I'll go, wow, okay, there's something there. And I've seen that, you know, not only with the anthropology, but, you know, in other discussions like DNA. I'm a real greenhorn there, but I know more now than I did 2 years ago.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, there's a lot of information there that can be gleaned that people can learn. You know, people can really get a good education with some of this if they give it a chance.
Oh,
and
yeah.
If they delve into it.
Yeah, well said. Well said.
Yeah,
then
we've got 2 minutes left. Anyone else have something to say? Go ahead and say it.
Richter, you know, let's talk about your Bigfoot bounty one more time. I can't wait to watch the show.
I can only say so much, so okay.
Yes,
sure.
I understand.
What do you want to hear?
well, I mean, I know you enjoyed the show, and you were part of it. And mm-hmm. talk about hanging out with your bud. Dang it, his name escapes me.
Dax.
Yes,
Dax.
Thank you.
My partner, Dax.
Excuse me, Dax. I'm sorry. Yes.
Dax Rushlow. He's great. He is a great teacher. He is very outdoorsy. He knows so much about the Sasquatch. He has 2 experiences that he talks about quite freely.
Right.
It was life-changing for him. I believe him. I believe him on his word, just like I believe Justin Smea on his word. Until you prove to me that you're a liar, I have to take you for your word. You know what I mean? That's where I come from. Sometimes Dax thinks that Justin's lying, and I tell Dax, do you have any evidence to corroborate your story? No? Well, you know what? Justin's got the thermal footage from Barcatino. He's got the ongoing investigations happening up in the Sierras. Well, you have to back up your story, your word, and that's what I'm taking you on. And I told Dax that. You know, and this has nothing to do with the TV show. This is just Bigfoot stuff. So, you know, Dax is the type of guy you can talk to about anything with regards to Bigfoot. And he has a lot of knowledge on the subject matter. He is book smart. Well, and he's also street smart. I mean, he knows, don't step on that plant. That is poison oak. Okay, good to know.
Okay. We got 20 seconds left, so thank you
guys
for calling in. Susie, Arla, Cindy, Richter, Summer, Crystal.
Thank you, guys. Thank you for having me.
Thank you, everybody.
Yeah, you're always welcome, Crystal.
Thanks, ladies. Ladies' night. Oh, what a night.
Feeling right.
Nice talking, everyone.
Thank you all.
Good
great show.
All
had
too.
Fun. And see you on the flip side.
Good night.
Thank you.
Bye. Good night.
Good night.
Thanks, everyone, for joining us in the chat room. See you next week.
MXR, baby.